Saving for retirement can seem to be a hard task these days, but my guest this morning is here to help you do the best you can to build a comfortable retirement. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have questions about retirements or investing or saving, I hope you'll call in today at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or find us on Facebook on The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And my guest, Frank Armstrong, with us. He's a certified financial planner, the founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. He's the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. He's been a guest with us many times, and it's always a real insight to have him on. Frank, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Good morning, Larry. Always a pleasure.
You know, there's a new book out, as you well know. It's called Flash Boys, A Wall Street Revolt. It's been getting a lot of press for its exposure of high-frequency trading practices on Wall Street. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding or just not lack of knowledge about high-frequency trading. First, what is it?
Well, high-frequency trading is an opportunity created by the SEC opening up a number of electronic markets to trade around the clock. And that's all a good thing. It's massively driven down the cost of trading. So that's a good thing. Attached to that is a problem that's significant but not overwhelming, and that's the high frequency trading, where you have an opportunity to front run trades because you have an information lag between the various exchanges. So let's just say that and those information lags are so small that we can hardly even imagine them. They're in the neighborhood of hundredths of a second. But let's just say that I knew that you wanted to trade 100,000 shares of IBM, say, and that I had a period of time to do something about that. I could go out to another exchange and buy them at a price lower than you were willing to pay or that might even be circulated, and then sell them to you and pocket the difference. And on trillions and trillions of dollars worth of trades, billions and billions of dollars are being siphoned off to people who don't provide any economic benefit. And the SEC has taken the position that it's not the classic definition of front running, but it is enough, in my terms, to gag a maggot. Because let's say you're a bank or a brokerage house or whatever, and I come to you and I want to trade my 100,000 shares of ATT. You as the broker might get paid for order flow. In other words, you're going to get a compensation for sending me that trade. And then I can take that information and sell it to a high-frequency trader who will profit from it. So it's not the same as a trader front-running in the classic description of front-running, but it's virtually the same, and I find it offensive. Yeah. However, in investors who aren't trading hundreds of thousands of shares on a second-by-second basis, but who are, for instance, have a long-term objective investing in solid mutual funds that don't trade a lot, like index funds or exchange-traded funds, have very little to be concerned about, but it doesn't improve the market. I hope I've been clear on that.
Yeah. Yes, you have, Frank. It smells.
It smells. It smells bad. And the SEC is not taking very strong action about it. And I find it offensive. And furthermore, it leads to market instability, and it leads to an inability for people who are looking at the market on a second-by-second basis to know what the true bids and offers are, because the whole process of Michael's book started when a few traders wondered why, when they looked at the market and placed a trade, all the offers disappeared. And that's what started the thought process about what's going on here. In the old days, when you watched that ticker go by, you knew what you could buy and sell stocks at. No more. You have stocks that have no relation to reality, or offers, bids and offers that have no relation to reality. And that's troubling. Additionally, it makes the market a little more unstable. You're going to see, as a result of all these trillions of trades being executed by machines, you're going to see more of the types of flash crashes that we saw, that we have seen in the last few years.
Frank Armstrong, our guest today, certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, our guest today as we visit with him about smart investing. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And let's take a call. John in Waukesha, thank you for calling. Hi, appreciate your call.
Hi, I have a question. I'm 65 and still working. I'm contributing to my 401k, and I'm wondering if I should be trying to get more money into a Roth IRA because of the taxation down the road, or should I just be putting all my savings and money into the 401?
The 401k also has a Roth alternative embedded in many plans, and that might be something you want to consider because you won't be forced to take the money out later. But it comes down to what's your current tax bracket versus what do you expect your tax bracket to be in retirement for most people. If I'm in a high tax bracket today, the value of the deduction is important to me. If I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket later, I've been able to leverage the system so that I saved money, say, at 40% today, and when I take the money out, I only pay it at 10 or 15% later. That's a really great trade-off. But if your taxes are going to be the same today as after retirement, the trade-off is basically the same for either savings mechanism.
I'm thinking that this money is going to be working for me, hopefully, for another 20, 25 years. Would the Roth give advantage? Would there be an advantage to the Roth in that situation?
The big advantage to a Roth for someone who's going to has a sizable account is that you're not forced to take out mandatory distributions beginning at age 70 and a half.
Right. Also, the 401 money adds to your taxable income, which triggers a tax on your Social Security benefits. Shouldn't that be figured in too?
Yes, it should. But again, the big advantage comes for someone who's going to retire and have a lower tax bracket later.
Yeah.
That's the starting point to look at all of these various wrinkles. If your tax bracket's going to be lower later, as it will be for the vast majority of retirees, then I think a traditional IRA or a traditional 401k serves you very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in as well with your investment questions or your saving for retirement questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You mentioned that you have to start taking money out at 70 and a half. If you are still working, someone told me the other day, if you're still working at 70 and a half, you don't have to begin taking out. Is that correct, Frank?
Yeah, but the difference, but there's one exception to that, and that's if you own more than 5% of the company you work for. So, for instance, for me, I'm going to be 70 next month. I've got to start to take it out, even though I can continue to make contributions. Strange.
There we go. You say there are some discussions underway at the Securities and Exchange Commission about fiduciary standards for investment advisors, and I had a chance to look at some writings that you recommended, and boy, you want to explain for our listeners what's really going on there?
Okay, well, look, first, I'm going to tell you up front that this is a discussion that might tend to put you to sleep, but you really ought to listen up. There's a battle for the heart and soul of the advice industry going on right now, and it's being played, and unfortunately it appears to be being won by the big players who want to water down the fiduciary standard. Now, the fiduciary standard, in very short, we've had fiduciaries for 1,000 years. We know what they're supposed to do. And as a fiduciary, I'm required to provide for you the very best solution with no compromises and full disclosure. On the other hand, salespeople are regulated under what's called a suitability standard, which loosely speaking means if it's good enough so that you don't gag, then it's okay, it's suitable. And I don't have to tell you that of all the possible solutions, this is the one that pays me the highest possible commission. So there's all kinds of embedded conflicts of interest there that don't have to be disclosed as long as you meet this very low standard called a suitability standard. Well, the SEC has got, there are several different agencies that could regulate advisors. I'm regulated as a pure investment advisor by the SEC, and I'm held to this higher fiduciary standard. Salespeople are regulated by FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulation Association, which is a self-regulatory agency, which I believe is evil in itself, because it's a it's made up of members of the industry who have been delegated the opportunity to regulate themselves. And so, you know, the regulation is less than you might expect or want. But that's it. Now, a big problem comes when a person has dual registration. So he can be regulated for one transaction as under suitability and another as a fiduciary, and you never know what hat he's wearing. But the big guys want to water down the fiduciary standard so that they can what they call level the playing field between salespeople, broker-dealers, et cetera, and true fiduciaries who are registered investment advisors. And that won't suit the average investor very well because you don't want to be paying for advice and getting compromised advice. If you're paying for advice, you ought to get totally unbiased professional advice. And it shouldn't be conflicted by issues of commissions or proprietary products or whatever else. Behind the scenes, there's an enormous battle going on between the various factions. And again, for most people, they're going to say ho-hum, but it's vitally important that you understand these issues, understand the differences. And I would say that it's vitally important that the fiduciary standard not be watered down.
And as, you know, I'm looking at the one of the reports I had a chance to read, the problem often is that these folks are selling you plans that are going to make them a lot more money and not necessarily you.
That's right. It's not the highest possible standard of the very best thing that I can find for you. It's what's going to make me the most money, and you never know what's being thought of on the other side of the table. I find it, you know, in other countries have done things like in England, you may not call yourself an advisor if you take commissions. They've radically revised it. It used to be that we had the best set of market regulations on the planet, but I think England and Australia now have gone far beyond what we've got in terms of you need to understand the deal you're getting and what's behind it. And if I call myself an advisor, I automatically should be held to a fiduciary standard in all the transactions that I make. I shouldn't be putting on one hat one second and another the other.
Frank Armstrong, our guest today. Frank's a certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, talking with him about investing and certainly looking forward to hearing what questions you have about your own investment situations. What do you have about saving for environment, or are you looking for advice about investing? I hope you'll join in at 1-800-װ└└================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're talking investing with Frank Armstrong, a president of Investor Solutions, Inc. By the way, Frank has a their website is, I will say, I think it's really good because there's a lot of good information, basic and advanced information about investing on that that wouldn't cost you a cent to read, as a matter of fact.
Well, thank you for those kind words. We do put a lot of work in it, and we think it is useful, and we're always open to suggestions that'll make it more useful.
Yeah. Cody in Oshkosh has a question for you. Cody, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe the details too well, but I had a friend that worked for Merrill Lynch down in Chicago, and the way they used to manipulate the stocks was they'd force all of their agents across the whole country to talk their clients into buying a stock, and then as soon as they drove the stock down, then they'd buy it back, and they'd keep going back and forth, driving it up and down, and basically their own clients were taking the fall for it.
That kind of behavior is despicable. It happens far too often. I don't want to say that every person at Merrill Lynch is a criminal, but the incentives are all wrong the way that it's structured. You're not getting paid to do the right thing. You're getting paid to do the right thing for the brokerage firm.
Yeah, and there are other companies. There was an article in the New York Times about the pressure that brokers are under from their employers to sell in-house products, regardless of whether they're the best. And were essentially, I don't think J.P. Morgan Chase employees were, according to the New York Times, were told to change their tactics along those lines or they were going to be pushed out.
They're going to be pushed out, you know, in broad general terms, and not to select just J.P. Morgan. But, you know, your corner office, your secretary, your trips, your allowances, your pay, and your job continuation depend on selling what you're told to sell in enough volume to justify your position. You're hired by the firm to sell stuff that makes the firm profits.
Yeah. Kim in Eau Claire has a question for you. Hi, Kim. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm a member of the Wisconsin State Retirement System, and they have where you can put in additional contributions of your own personal monies, and I'm wondering what the pros and cons are of doing that.
Without being an expert on the Wisconsin system, because I'm down here in Coconut Grove, Florida, I would tell you that one of the things you want to look at is the cost of the internal costs. And then the next thing would be tax benefits. If you can get a tax deduction for a 401k type or a 403b type deduction, that's a very good thing, especially as we said earlier, if you're going to be retiring at a lower tax bracket later. But if the costs are too high, it will wipe out the tax benefits. So costs are important. Additionally, the quality of the investments is important. If it's a managed high-risk account and you're looking for an index fund, which I would recommend, that's fully diversified and as low a risk as you can have in a particular market, and they're not available, then that's not a good thing. But, you know, it's very hard without having all the details of the plan in front of me to do that analysis. Typically, those plans are pretty well run. And typically the tax advantages and the other advantages are great. Having said that, the very best thing about them often is that it's a forced savings for you. It makes savings automatic, and it takes it out of your pocket before you get a chance to spend it. And that may be the very best part of any retirement system.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Thanks, Kim. And frankly, as the Wisconsin retirement system has very, very high ratings. It's in the top two or three in the nation, I believe.
So, well, and you all are very fortunate. I'm sorry I don't have the details on that, but you're fortunate to have good fiduciaries looking after you.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin and Madison, your turn. Hi, Justin.
Hi there. I had a question for Frank. So in my mid-20s, 6, 7 years ago, I decided, hey, I need a Roth IRA because, it's paid tax up front, and it seemed like the smart thing to do. So I paid in full four or five years. It sat there for a couple of years because I'm paying into other retirement accounts now. Anyways, so it's sitting there doing what it's doing, and it's through the company. I don't remember off the top of my head. It's the one with the whale. But I went through my bank, and they, suggested. I went through a risk analysis, and they said, okay, go with this. Go with high, very aggressive, a lot of stocks. Anyways, so they charge a pretty hefty fee based off of what you earn, like 2-3%, which could add up to quite a bit over the life of the IRA. Is there any suggestion to possibly managing it myself with an index fund that would follow a market rather than these managers trying to do it? Because from what I've seen, managers can never out-earn what the market tends to do historically.
2-3% would be obscene for a managed account, and you ought to just run away. If you have the opportunity to invest with a bank, you probably have the opportunity to invest with somebody like Vanguard, where you could get the cost down to probably 0.25% per year on a fully diversified global portfolio. And certainly that would be something you ought to look at. But, without knowing the details of your current plan, I don't know what options are available to you under your employer plan. But certainly 2-3% is not something I would ever consider.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Justin, for calling. Paul in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just want to take issue with one of the callers and also with something your guest referred to. I've been with Merrill Lynch for 28 years. I have never experienced a manager or anyone in the office pushing a product that every broker is told they have to sell and nothing to do with that riding a stock up or down and get out. We have never been instructed to sell in-house products because they pay a higher commission. They don't. It's a flat across the board no matter which family we deal with. And about 90% of our mutual funds are not Merrill Lynch funds that clients own. And on fees, we got away from transaction fees as primary business 10, 12 years ago. Most of our clients pay from 0.75% to 1.5% on the assets that they have here, and there are no commissions on the transactions. So I just wanted to make those three comments clear.
Thank you for calling, Paul. And a comment from you, Frank.
They are morphing to a managed account system. Those costs that he referenced are fair. I don't want to pick on Merrill Lynch or anybody else. I just want people to be aware of the possible implications of some of these transactions. And I think that a fee for service with no compromises and full disclosure is the way for investors to go. And if you can get that at Merrill Lynch, fine.
Let's go to Larry and Racine next. Larry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. See, I'm retired now. I've been retired for about 5 years. And about a year ago, I got to the point where I was very concerned about the market. So I got pulled everything out, really. I've got everything sitting in a money market fund. I want to come back in, but I'm going to keep about 20, this is my feeling, at my age at 72. I'm going to keep about a quarter of it in the market, meaning the stock market, and I want to put 75% really into the bond side or the fixed side. What are your recommendations for that fixed side, since right now in the money market I'm getting very little? And what do you think about Ginnie Mae's over the moving forward?
It's frustrating dealing in a bond market when we all grew up. I'm sure you're about the same age I am, and we remember those really high, juicy yields, 12, 14%. And today they're close to nothing. The problem that you have is that if interest rates go up, Ginnie Mae's and every other long-term bond you have is going to go down in value, and you'll be locked in. So our policy is to stay short-term and just suck it up and realize that that's what the market is offering, and that if we stretch for yield, eventually when interest rates go up, and I don't know when that might happen, we're going to get hammered. And the safe part of your portfolio really should be devoted to reasonably short-term, say 3 to 3 years max on average, and reasonably high quality diversified bond portfolios. But it is what it is. And just wishing that we could find a better solution when the market's not offering it to you leads you to a path that may not be in your best interest long term.
Hmm. Could I ask a follow up?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks. See, if it's a Ginnie Mae, I mean, I'm not going to buy an individual Ginnie Mae. I'm going to go into a mutual fund, and I'm thinking the return right now is better, you know, than what I'm getting in that money market. And you can get out of a Ginnie Mae immediately. I mean, you can make one call to Vanguard, and you're out.
Yeah. You can, but as interest rates go up, the value of that Ginnie Mae fund is going to go down, and it's going to go down in proportion to how long the average maturity of the underlying securities is. So yes, you can get out, but you will have gotten out after you've experienced a capital loss. And that little incremental yield that you get is not going to be sufficient, in my humble opinion, to justify the additional risk. And if you remember back, the Ginnie Mae market was somewhat compromised and roiled a few years ago, and it's not entirely clear that that could never happen again.
Mm, yeah, there you go. Thanks, Larry, for calling. His taking money out, all of his money out of the market reminded me of this issue of timing the market and trying to time the market. And I saw an article by Warren Buffett who talked about how dangerous it is to attempt to time the market. He said, you know, with a wonderful business, you can figure out what will happen. You can figure out when it will happen. So you don't want to focus on when. You want to focus on the what.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, when we talk about markets, everybody's talking about risk. And they don't want to see it go up and down. But I really think the biggest risk that investors face is their own behavior. And having taken the money out last year has deprived you of probably a 14% return in the last year as the market's recovered. And you're never going to recapture that. That's gone forever. And so market timing, occasionally, very seldom, someone will profit from market timing. But the vast majority of people will systematically shoot themselves right in the foot. And they really ought to try and take the emotion out of the investment process and deal with it in a much more rational way. Because, you know, when you say I got concerned about the market, well, I wake up every day concerned about the market. But I know the rational way to handle that is to look for my long-term interest, set the asset allocation plan that's appropriate for me, and stick with it through thick or thin. Yeah. And all I can tell you is that it's always worked before. I can't guarantee you that the sun's going to come up tomorrow, but I can tell you that based on my experience,
yes, it is.
It probably is. And so things that have always worked before are a pretty good way to proceed.
Shelby in Milwaukee has a question for you. Thanks, Shelby, for calling. Hi. Shelby, are you there? Oh, he's, tell you what, he's breaking up, but I know what he was going to ask, and it was, what do you look for in an investment advisor, I believe is what he wanted to know. How do you find an investment advisor?
Okay, well, I think the first thing you need to look at is the compensation schedule. And full disclosure here, I am a fee-only advisor, and I'm very comfortable thinking that's the best way to go. The second thing you need to look at is qualifications. All of my advisors in my office have master's degrees. They are 10 years of at least of experience, and they're all certified financial planners, accredited investment fiduciaries, et cetera. As I think one of the Supreme Court justices observed, a pure heart and an empty head are really not sufficient. You want somebody who's got your best interest at heart and has the experience and the qualifications and the knowledge to develop a plan that's tailored for you. And one good way to start to look for that is to go to the NAPFA Association, NAPFA, National Association of Professional Financial Advisors. All those people are certified financial planners, and they're all fee-only advisors. And they can provide you with references to advisors in your vicinity or nationwide if you care to.
There you go. And Shelby, I'm sorry we couldn't get you on, but I hope you were able to hear that the response from Frank. Robin LaCrosse has a question. Hi, Rob.
Hi, and thank you. You actually just answered most of my question with the last one, so that's great. But I was also kind of wondering your maybe opinion, I guess, on what my setup is. And I understand I'd rather not give you numbers of like what I make. But anyway, the company I work for used to have just strictly a pension, and it was 2.7%.
Yep.
But now it went down to 1.5% a year or two ago. And when that happened, they also opened up a 401k for everybody, and they match up to 6%. So I put in 6% of Roth, and they do, you know, I don't have the choice of what they put in. There's just strictly standard 6%, so I'll get taxed on it later. And I guess I was just wondering, I'm not even sure, you know, if what I have set up is good enough, or so part of my question was, how do I know if that's good enough? The 401k is through Fidelity, which I think is a good one. I don't know, but I don't know. I guess your opinion on who to talk to or
sure
where to look.
Well, a 6% match is very generous. So if you're putting in 6 and the company's putting in 6, now you're putting away 12% per year of your income. And that's pretty good. If most people put away 12%, we wouldn't have the retirement crisis that we're seeing now. When you look at a pension plan, Fidelity's got some excellent plans out there. You also need to look at the total cost when you consider an investment advisor, the plan administrator, so-called third-party administrator, and the cost of the individual funds in there. If you pick and choose amongst Fidelity's products, you can have an excellent, excellent plan, or you could get some very high-priced, very volatile, not-so-wonderful funds in the mix. It'd be hard to advise you without seeing the details of that plan, but it would be. I will advise you that it's a good idea to look at that.
All right, there you go, Rob. Thank you for calling, Ann in Madison. Let's turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. Well, I had a question. Since the repeal of Glass-Steagall, a whole bunch of stuff has happened, and a lot of people really don't want their savings accounts to be commandeered by these big investment banks. And I was wondering what how the Fed's keeping the interest rate at close to zero is affecting banks and credit unions. It seems to me that what the Fed is doing is forcing people who don't want to invest in, you know, multinational companies, which are the most profitable, to withdraw their money from their regular savings accounts and go into the stock market. And a lot of people, just for, you know, philosophical reasons, don't want to do that.
I think you're absolutely correct. One of the purposes of flooding the market with currency and lowering interest rates is to get people to invest in the stock markets to see them recover. I don't think there's much dispute about that. The Fed is in a very strange position, though, because traditionally monetary policy, that the Fed administers and the Treasury Department's economic policy work in tandem. But right now, there is no fiscal policy to speak of worth having. So the Fed has got to do the entire lifting all by themselves to try and promote an economic recovery. And the inability of a dysfunctional Congress and an administration to free up some funds to do some things that we all need to see done, like improving the schools, preventing the bridges from falling down, hiring enough cops to protect us, et cetera, has made the Fed the sole driver of an economic recovery. So I wake up every morning, I guess, and I'm glad I'm not driving the Fed, because it's a very difficult position that they're in. But yes, one of the reasons that they've flooded is to improve the one of the byproducts, at least, is to improve the capital markets. And philosophically, I don't have any problem in investing in multinational companies or companies that are profitable. I think that you need to look at that in proportion to your own needs. I view the market as neither evil nor good. It is what it is, and it's an opportunity for you to improve your long-term returns.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Ann. And Frank, boy, it's always such a great pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I hope we can do this again.
Well, I hope we can, too. I love it. You know, I'm not shy, and I love talking about this stuff. So anytime you think it would be useful, I'd love to be on your show.
Thank you, Frank. Frank Armstrong, I hope you go to his website. He's a certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc. And if you go there, you go to his website, you'll see a lot of really good neutral information there about investing, and maybe about investments that you have or are thinking about. He is the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. So great to have him here. And he will be back at some point.